Hey guys, welcome back to the Tipsy Ghost. We are your tipsy hosts, Sarah, Sarah, and Lizzie.
Hi.
Hey guys.
That was what? I don't know what just happened there. I stumbled over the word guys. I don't know what's wrong.
We're starting out on the right foot.
First of all, I almost choked on my spit introing.
I was focused on that, and then it got to me, and I was like, what do I say?
And push through it.
What I say every week. Come on, Lizzie.
Hey guys.
Hey guys, it's perfect. I know my lines.
What's up? What's new?
Oh goodness!
Wow, that wine.
Yeah, the wine.
It's actually pretty good. I don't hate it.
I feel like, what is it? Pinot?
Yeah, it's the Pinot Grigio. Oh, sorry.
It's good.
Yelled in your ears.
I'm enjoying it. What do you have over there, Boydson? You got something else?
I'm trying a new one. It's from Platte County, Missouri. Jowler Creek.
Oh, is that up in Weston?
Yes. From the Westons, and it's a sweet red wine.
I drive by it often.
So this one I was a little leery on because usually my wines from locals are like $10 max. This one was $15.
Ooh,
oh my God. So
fancy.
It's not bad.
Do they sell it in the liquor store local, or you don't have to like actually go to the?
I got it at
winery. Do you?
Either Hy-Vee or Price Chopper.
Okay.
Figuring
even
out.
Even better than a liquor store, the grocery store.
I'm realizing how ignorant I am when it comes to booze. I've just stayed in my own lane for many, many years, and there's so much more that I could have experienced.
It's cheaper that way.
I know. Somebody made fun of White Claws the other day, and I was like, I like White Claws. And they just look at me, and they're like, Lindsay. And I said, listen, I own that I am a basic white girl.
I don't anymore.
Yeah, it's going to
Garnett House ruin that.
Bud Light makes a seltzer. Wait for it. It's
Can you not be so judgy right away?
I haven't even gotten to the point. You might like it.
My answer is no.
Okay, but it comes in a Christmas pack, so we got to make sure to get on it. They have a peppermint one, and then they have a, I can't remember the second one, and the other one is an apple flavor.
Like a cranberry, maybe?
No, it's an apple. No, it's an apple. Okay. Oh, you're talking about the missing one?
I heard apple.
Like, I don't know. It's an apple.
Cranberry sounds festive and Christmassy. I don't know.
It may be, honestly. I cannot remember. I'll have to look it up. But the people on the TikTok are putting Fireball into the apple seltzer. That's where I was going with that. And then it's like a
good idea.
Cinnamon apple.
It's what we do with Red's Apple Ale here.
Mm, yeah.
Here in my house.
That's probably much sweeter, too. That probably tastes better than the seltzer.
I'll stick with that. Seltzer and I just don't get along.
Well,
when you drink 12 of them.
We had a pretty rough go the last time.
Whose fault was that? I didn't want to drink the grapefruits.
Then we couldn't just leave them there.
That's true.
We couldn't go to waste. I wasn't going to store them in my fridge again.
Well, they would go eventually, but I'm just still really upset that when I drink 12 White Claws, and we record, I cannot fucking form sentences. And you guys are like having full-on discussions. Like, that still baffles me. How is this so?
Discussions that are cringy.
They may be cringy, but you can make words.
I could still make words. Not very well.
Yes.
My ability to make words goes down.
Oh, man. You'd think I'd learn after all these recordings and listening. I'm like, don't do that again. No, I do it every time. Sorry about that.
Yeah, it's okay.
I don't talk a lot normally, so whenever we drink, I just get more chatty.
She does.
Yeah.
When it comes to religion and politics and aliens.
Just everything.
And Lindsay engages, so.
And I'm the hype girl.
Let us know if you guys want to have a heart-to-heart with Lindsay and Sarah. Lindsay and Sarah, and then the other Sarah will just be sitting here quietly saying, preach!
Trust me, that's what you want.
Yes,
yes, I forgot about yes, Lindsay, yes. Lindsay!
The ultimate hype man. Several times I was listening back, and there was like a flashlight would go off or something. You were like, Lindsay! I'm like, yeah, I know.
I'm sorry.
I know, and I still don't believe.
She's such a hype man. I love it.
Oh, that one went on video, too, so that was fun.
Yes.
Not only did we hear it, we also saw it later. Mm. Neat. That's real cool. Why do we do that? Why do we put ourselves on the internet?
At least you don't embarrass yourself on social media like I have done this past week. I think I'm...
Oh, yeah. Did you tell us your blunder?
Kristen already knows it.
Tell us your blunder. What happened?
She stopped. I already broke Boyd's head because she's remembering this. Oh, gosh.
Sarah, you have to sit down for this. This is great.
I am sitting. I'm ready.
All right. So I had two social media blunders in the same day.
I was like, I think I heard about one of them, but you
I wouldn't let her tell you the good one.
Oh, okay.
I won't tell the second one. Suffice it to say, the second one is I sent a screenshot to people I should not have sent a screenshot to.
Did you say suffice it?
Suffice it to say.
Okay.
She might have.
I was so joking. Earlier in the day, I'm just scrolling social media, scrolling through Facebook, you know, and my thumb accidentally hit share on something it should not have hit share on. And Facebook asks you, are you sure? Yes. Yeah. And I was just trying to get out of it and hit yes. And so I shared something I should not have shared. And immediately I went and like deleted it from my Facebook wall. And I was like, oh no. And my husband gets on his phone. He's like, it's not on your Facebook wall, blah, blah, blah. So I go to whoever's thing I shared and it still says one share. So she knows that I did it. And it is a
hang
friend.
Hang on. Sarah, ask her what she shared.
What'd you share? Oh God, do I want
to
know?
It's from someone I haven't talked to in 15 plus years since junior high, probably eighth grade. We're still Facebook friends. Picture.
Oh God.
Of her. It's a picture of her kid on Santa Claus's lap. This girl I haven't talked to in 15 plus years, and I'm sharing her poor son sitting on Santa's lap.
You're such a weirdo.
She's probably like, what the fuck?
I know. I'm so embarrassed.
She got notified of that.
Yes! And it still says one share. So it still says that I shared it even though I deleted it. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so awkward. This is so uncomfortable. I need to like unfriend her. I'm not even going to say her name. To my Facebook friend that I've not talked to since I was 13 or 14 years old. I am so sorry that I just shared the picture of your son.
On Santa's lap.
I did not mean to. It was an accidental thumb slip. And then I just hit yes without even thinking about it. Oh. So I'm so sorry that I'm so weird. And I promise I know how to social media.
I don't know.
But then that night.
There's more?
Yes. That night, I'm sitting back in my office and I was. A friend of mine was trying to see something and she was like, it's not showing that on my phone, blah, blah. Screenshot it and send it to me. So I took a screenshot of something that was private and I meant to send it to her. And then I got a phone call. And so that flustered me and I sent it to the wrong person who I should not have sent it to a group chat.
In a group chat? Oh my God. What?
And right away, and Boitza was sitting next to me during all this and I said, shit. Shit!
Oh my God.
She's still on this phone call, by the way.
Yes. Oh my God.
And the nurse on the phone with me is like, what? I'm like, no, you're fine. Okay, I'll do what you said, but shit! And so later I like approached him and I was like, I'm sorry, I had a midlife crisis on the phone with you. And he's like, it's okay.
And then I told Lindsay, like, you gotta put your phone down. Like, get off your phone.
100%.
I got flustered. I meant to just send it to her, but when I opened my messages, the most recent message popped up, and I just hit send because I was on the phone with a nurse who was like, hey, can you do this for me? And I had the phone on speaker, and I was like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And then I just hit send, and I was like, oh, no.
Shit.
It was a pretty new nurse. I was like, I'm sorry. I sent the wrong thing. He goes, I need you to get it together. I was like, okay, sorry.
Can I get it together? It's okay. I think we've all done that.
Yes, so that is my story of how I cannot social media.
Or that wasn't even social. That was just you
being dumb.
Not paying attention.
I promise I can multitask. I do a great job of it. I just got distracted.
Yeah. One time I sent a message to one of my best friends about how said best friend was being a total bee because she wouldn't let my boyfriend at the time come over and she was being really rude to me. And then I, you know, realized. Oh, fuck. Yeah. I was the wrong person. I had to really dig my way out of that hole. So
I think ever since then.
Okay. That makes me feel better.
Yeah, it's okay.
Have you ever sent a email to the entire distribution list with, while you're calling, not really calling out, but like pointing out things that people are not doing right?
That sounds like something that you have done.
It sounds like a reply all that should not have been a reply all.
That's exactly right.
Tell us your story, Winston.
I was replying all. I was just going to reply to my boss, but I ended up hitting reply all to the entire department.
Oh, no.
And I was pointing out four different people that were not following a process.
By name?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
And so immediately, like, I noticed, and you know how whenever you do something terrible, you just have, like, instant, like, I'm going to shit my pants right now.
Yes, literally. Yes, that's what happened with me.
And so I call, it's, I don't know, 4 a.m., I call my boss. I was like, how do you unsend an email?
You don't.
She's like, well, you can go on and hit recall, but it 99% never works. I was like, okay, well, people might be mad at me, and please just tell them you support it. I'm so sorry.
Did people get mad at you?
Well, nobody ever mentioned it.
Oh, okay.
But I know people saw it.
Yeah.
Because when you try and recall a message, it tells you every single person that opens the message.
Uh-huh.
And I just kept, for a week, I kept getting these notifications. This person saw it. This person saw it.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was like, oh, this is terrible.
Yeah, I tried to delete the text message after I sent it.
She did. She tried to delete it.
You can't do that.
And my husband, tried that too. My husband's in this group chat. And so he was like, I was like, I deleted it. Can you see it? He's like, yes.
You deleted it from your feed.
Yes.
My mom did the same thing.
I tried anything. Listen, I was willing to try anything.
Oh, it's happened to everyone. It's okay. My mom was like, I deleted that picture from the group chat. I didn't mean to send it to everybody. So it's good. It's all good now. And I was like,
I have become Jan.
Mom.
Oh, yeah. I'm just social media. This is why I don't handle our socials.
Okay. Yeah. I do such a fabulous job.
Much better than me.
Well, you know, I get stuff up every once in a while. I try.
It's okay. We have a calendar now.
Getting better. It's
the person
hard work.
The person who made the calendar didn't follow it last week, so it's fine.
It's okay. All right. What are we talking about this week?
True crime. That was really good.
We did it. All three of us.
Nailed it.
That was perfect. It's only taken us like 8 months. It's okay.
I'm so proud of us. There was no variation in tone, though. It was just everybody on the same. No,
everybody was singing the same thing.
Harmony's going to take another year. It's okay.
Maybe next time.
That's too much
time.
Practice.
So we're talking about true crime tonight, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are.
We're going to spin the wheel to see who's going first.
Hmm. Oh, my God.
It's me. It's Boydston.
I just now noticed that they bring, like, a little crowd up from the bottom for a second when they cheer.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
And then it goes back down.
Remind me next time. I'm going to look at it.
I'm going to watch.
Well, now I hope it is a crowd. It wasn't just something there.
Like, gosh, Sarah, you're totally wrong.
Honestly, it probably was.
I apologize. I don't have a PowerPoint.
That's okay. We'll just look at your face.
Sometimes true crime just doesn't need a PowerPoint.
I agree. I didn't want to make one for mine either.
Wise words. I wanted to make one, but I didn't have time. So look at that. We're all just going to have to listen to each other.
Oh, that sounds
it's been a busy week.
It has been a busy week.
Ready.
Ready.
Okay.
Okay.
Five, six, seven, eight.
We'll get to the point eventually.
When you say ready, okay, you don't count down. No. You start your cheer.
That's right.
I wasn't doing a cheer thing. I was just, okay.
That's what ready, okay means.
Okay. Okay, it's fine. Moving along.
We'll move on. So I couldn't find much information on this case besides, like, the main facts until I came across a website made specifically about this case by a group of students in a forensic class somewhere.
Oh, my goodness.
And they made a website. Isn't that crazy?
It's wild.
Can they be friends with us?
Technology. Well,
I mean, I'm not good at the technology. They're probably way better at that. We already discovered that.
They're going to be like, no, thank you.
She did a terrible job, so no.
She shared somebody's random picture.
Okay, you did a great job. Lindsay and I over here sharing the wrong statuses. I just figured out, but I don't even want to tell you this because you're going to think I'm an idiot, but I just now figured out that you can, like, long press. Are we okay with that?
Lucy, knock it off.
long press a picture on Google that you just like wanted to search something up and then save that picture. I just not figured that out. So I had been screenshotting everything and then cropping.
Well, here's my thing.
Bless your heart.
I hadn't been sharing our post from Facebook because every time I hit share, it said that the Tipsy Ghost was sharing it. And I didn't figure out how to
change it
until last night, the night before.
Yeah.
I still don't know how to do that.
I should have told you.
I had been doing it. So at one point in my life, I figured it out. But then my brain just quit.
Yeah. It's okay. I'll show you how. I had to figure it out too, so it's all good.
I was like, no, I don't want to post the same post.
I know. I did the same thing. It's been a lot of learning lessons for me. Okay.
So anyway, by a forensics class, I think 4 students worked on it. The website's called Group 4 Project Forensics.
That is a very clever name.
Very telling.
I think they were group 4.
I know exactly what they are talking about.
In a forensics class that they had a project for.
Sounds accurate.
And so some of their information is, it somewhat contradicts itself, but for the most part, their science and their general conclusions are pretty sound. And like I said, this case I thought was very, very interesting, but I couldn't find any information on it at all besides this website.
Interesting.
Okay.
So that's group essentially four?
We're looking at you.
Group 4 Project Forensics.
Let's go, group four, your time to shine.
So that's where the bulk of this information comes from.
Got it.
All right. A Philadelphia couple were in Maine visiting family. Okay. They were 33-year-old Calvin Jones and 23-year-old Sarah Tolbert.
It's always going to be a Sarah.
It's always a Sarah.
Oh, Sarah.
However, it's without an H, so points
almost
off.
Almost there.
But it was Calvin's dad's birthday, and they were coming up to surprise him. They got a hotel. Calvin brought the gift that he was going to give his dad, which was a large rubber hose.
Okay.
I mean,
that's probably a good dad gift.
Home Goods, yeah. He gardens, I'm sure.
Home Goods? Do you mean like
Home Depot?
Home Depot?
No, like homeware.
Okay. I was like, you can't get a garden hose at Home Goods.
You may be able to. I don't know.
Home Goods is a lot of stuff. I do love Home Goods. Okay, sorry.
So they were enjoying their little vacation, and Calvin and Sarah decided to have a few drinks because...
Why not?
Why not? That's exactly right. Why not?
Why not?
Okay, I see you.
Thanks. As I'm drinking wine.
So they requested multiple bottles of wine and whiskey to be sent up to their room.
I love them.
It's a party.
Just after 1 a.m., guests in the neighboring hotel rooms heard arguing that quickly became loud and violent. Okay. And Calvin apparently had issues with his temper before, and he was heard yelling at Sarah. And one witness stated that they heard a thump followed by a shriek after all of this violent yelling.
Not good.
Not good at all.
Yikes.
Calvin and Sarah left the room, passing a bellhop on their way out of the hotel. The bellhop saw Sarah slouched over, like barely able to walk. He was basically carrying her. But Calvin waved him off, saying that she was just super drunk. But a few hours later, Sarah's badly beaten body was found in Calvin's car just off the interstate. So that's extra not good. She was covered in blood from an apparent head wound. The police found a bloody hose and blood splatter in the hotel room. So obviously Calvin murdered Sarah and was charged with manslaughter.
Calvin's dad never got his birthday gift.
My God.
That's not actually what happened.
Oh, okay.
Oh, right. Okay.
He wasn't charged with manslaughter, just with assault and battery.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So you'd assume that he murdered her.
Right.
Right. And he is going to be charged with manslaughter and go to jail.
At the least, yeah.
Right.
He was only charged with assault and battery.
So, he didn't kill her?
So, here's where the forensic students come in.
All right, group four.
Group four, project forensics. They got really sciencey. A lot of words were said, but the case they made was really fascinating to me.
Okay.
But, like, really, really sciencey, like, science.
Over my head.
Because it's a school project, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Break it down for me.
I mean, they went into the chemistry...
Break it down to like a fifth grade level, maybe fourth, actually. And then I made it.
Give yourself more credit than that.
Listen, I had to do sixth grade science, and no. Hmm. No, I don't.
Yeah, I already tapped out for chemistry.
Right?
Speaking of chemistry, they went into the chemistry behind...
Good segue. Wait, bring us back. Look at that.
Behind testing for blood alcohol content.
Okay, yes.
And for those unfamiliar, my very dumbed-down version of this is... You obtain a blood sample into a specific lab tube. Are we following?
I'm with you.
The tube of the blood is put into a warm water.
Warm water.
And the alcohol vapors rise to the top above the liquid within the tube.
Okay.
And I'm saying this because I thought it was fascinating. So.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know how. I just knew the lab did it.
Yeah.
Send it to the lab. Get a number. That's
so
what I know.
The vapor is then removed from the tube and put into an instrument. And then science happens. And someone smarter than me uses that data to read the ethanol level.
Whoa. Science happens. I love it.
Yeah. That's my explanation. So in Sarah's case, she was 246 or 0.246%.
Okay. That's pretty high.
Yeah.
That's
pretty the high. Legal that's limit, high. Just for everybody else to compare, is 80 or 0.08. So she was drunk. Which is fine. That happens. We do that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So she was also found with significant head injuries. And this is where the students come in to figure out just how hard Sarah was hit. And could this blunt force trauma be enough to kill her?
Okay.
I mean, like, super physics. They went
splatters.
All the physics. Gravitational acceleration, inertia, force, torque.
I used to want to do forensics until I realized I hate science.
Angular velocity.
Oh my God.
Yeah, they lost me within the first sentence, but they did go on to infer that Sarah would have sustained bruising, possible open head wounds, or even a closed head injury. And alcohol thins the blood, which lowers the ability to form blood clots.
Mm-hmm.
And the head trauma, coupled with the fact that she was intoxicated, would have made her more susceptible to bleeding out. And she was very badly beaten. She had damage to her carotid artery, which is the main artery to supply blood to the brain.
Mm-hmm.
She had a depressed skull fracture, which is a break inward towards the brain. This trauma to her head and neck could have easily contributed to her death, but they ended up being complications and not the actual cause of her death. So the seemingly obvious case was solved by the autopsy and was a total plot twist and the reason why I picked this case to talk about.
I'm ready for it.
Autopsy. Love it.
So Sarah did have significant head trauma, but there wasn't enough blood loss to conclude that this is what she died from. So the coroner obtained a sample of her blood and had it further evaluated.
Poison.
And they found out that Sarah had sickle cell anemia.
Oh, I was off.
Way off.
When in doubt, arsenic poisoning, y'all.
That's a good guess, though.
Mm-hmm. It was a very good guess.
I would have never guessed sickle cell.
Sickle cell. So, like, she...
That is her cause of death.
They didn't know she had it?
Or... She was in a crisis.
So, this sickle cell anemia is determined to be the primary cause of her death, not the actual beating she took from Calvin.
Whoa.
And our answer is how...
Right.
Like, the guy beat her. So sickle cell anemia is an inherited disease affecting the red blood cells.
Right.
And it causes part of the red blood cells that carry oxygen throughout the body to become hard. And the red blood cells are normally round, but they take on like a crescent or sickle shape.
Mm-hmm.
And because of their shape, they have a hard time moving throughout the body and they can create blockages, stopping the flow of blood and oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially... What the autopsy concluded is that when the hose was hitting her neck, it significantly decreased the blood flow. And then due to her sickle cell anemia, the blood cells latched onto each other in that weird form.
Mm-hmm.
And they blocked the artery. And the blood flow and the oxygenation was hindered by both to her brain and throughout her body. So in the hours that it took for Sarah's body to be found, she succumbed to the complications of sickle cell anemia. And it was only secondary that her beating contributed.
Wow. That's fascinating.
Hmm.
I think that was really... I think you did a great job explaining science.
Like I said, like...
I wouldn't even know.
But the general premise is, like, this is true. Like, it happened, and her autopsy said sickle cell anemia was the cause of her death.
So if she didn't have sickle cell, the beating would not have killed her. Was their guess.
Maybe not.
Or, essentially, you can't say that the beating...
Caused it.
Because she had sickle cell, and the actual cause of death was from the blockage.
Like, she wouldn't have had that event happen had she not been hit in the neck.
So that's why her husband didn't get manslaughter charges.
Apparently.
Wow.
You just get assault and battery.
That seems like a really tricky lawyer thing to
that
do.
That is, yeah.
Yeah.
Luck.
And like I said, there was...
That's out of my scope.
She was beaten.
Yeah,
right. That part is for sure. The autopsy determined it wasn't to a point that it would have potentially killed her, especially not in that time frame.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting, though, that he, like... had a dead body and wheeled it out.
Well, I mean, that's the other part. Like,
nobody charged
I think
him
she
on
was
anything
like,
on that.
Like a quarter of the way alive, but he ditched her. So, like, she just suffered and died.
So, wow. I mean, again, though, how did he not get charged with something else for basically abandoning her and not seeking medical care?
That's what I'm saying.
You're going to have to ask the law. And like I said, the students did, like, while a lot of their research was comprehensive and very sciencey and looks legit, especially the medical side, which I can somewhat attest to. I'm not a super expert in sickle cell, but I do see it.
Get the basics, right. Yeah.
I mean, I can see it.
Group four. If you hear this,
Group 4 Projects Forensics.
We have a few questions that I'm sure you have better insight than we do on these. So hit us up.
Hit us up. Thanks, clarify. Give us all the things. But essentially, I just thought this was interesting.
That's interesting.
This may be totally not okay to say, but this is giving me like COVID vibes. Like the person had COVID, but they died from
death certificate.
Yes.
You didn't die from COVID. Okay.
Right.
You didn't die from COVID. It was just respiratory failure.
That, yes, that's what I'm saying.
Which her sickle cell would not have acted that way if she hadn't gotten the shit beat out of her.
That's exactly right. Interesting. See, everything's all connected.
Just saying.
Very interesting. Loopholes. It's a world of loopholes.
It is, isn't it? Yeah, because like someone may die falling off of a bridge, crushing their head, and that's what killed them. But if I push them off the bridge, I caused the head trauma.
That was one of the big COVID arguments, was the guy who fell off the ladder that had like a head trauma that came in, and his death certificate said COVID. And it was because he had COVID and was up on a ladder and his oxygen levels went low and he lost, functionality of his brain basically and fell off of the ladder. And that's what caused the fall. But
yeah,
everything's connected.
Yeah. Everything is. Just a short, fun story.
I like it.
All right, thanks, Boydson.
Okay, we have to watch to see
if
the little people jump up.
You guys, it's probably not at all. What the hell was I seeing?
We're all very excited about this, okay?
All right,
I'm like kind of worried.
Moment of truth.
What was I seeing?
Yeah! Aha,
see, I told you.
And then Sarah.
It's like 2.5 seconds. They'll jump up there.
Oh, my God.
What was that noise?
Is everybody okay up there? They're both in here, right?
No, just Lucy.
Where'd Brutus go?
He's out there.
Does he want to come in?
Is he okay? Oh, you know what happens? Caesar picks on him, and then he screams like a little girl.
Oh, is that what?
Yeah.
He came running in as soon as I opened that door.
He's like, Mom.
Somebody let me in. All right, are we ready?
I am so ready.
I'm semi-ready.
Semi.
That face. You just give me that face all the time.
It's my disappointed face.
Why? Why can anybody never be just proud of me or, like, really encouraging? Goodness.
I just said that was a great story. Thanks for sharing that with us. How is that not encouraging?
I'm more talking about when you both are drunk.
I'm not drunk.
You're encouraging of each other. Like, case in point, Garnet House, you're encouraging of each other, and I'm just like...
We were talking... Me and you had really good talks. How is that encouraging?
I was going to say, if you listen back to the recording, you're talking about aliens, and I'm like, yeah! Yeah, we cannot be the only people in this damn nation. And you're like, in the universe? And I'm like, yeah, in the fucking universe, Lindsay. And I'm like, why are people friends with me? How do I have friends? I don't even know.
But then when
I backed you up the entire time.
And then when I'm talking politics, she's just like, yes, preach, sister. Yes.
Sorry. See, so I was very supportive. I was actually really mean to Lindsay the whole time. I'm like, Lindsay, what's wrong? Why are you saying that?
I don't remember this.
What's wrong with you?
You jerk.
Because she was pointing out, I would have never been able to form this sentence, but she was pointing out how you were saying, I believe that you believe, that whole thing. And I was supporting, like, oh, yeah. Right. And then I was like, I just need to chill. And then you just hear me go silent for about 15 minutes. Anyhow, my point was that I was supporting you
in you guys,
recording.
What? I just noticed that my wine says red cock-a-doodle-doo. Red cock-a-doodle-doo. No.
Why, though? Oh, that's the name of it.
Because it's got a rooster on it.
So the name of my wine is Red Cock.
Oh, my gosh.
A doodle-doo.
Pervy.
Thank you for your pauses.
Pervy. Pervalicious.
Enjoy your red cock. A doodle-doo. Oh,
okay. So delicious.
This is pretty good.
I know. I like the... I haven't had it before, but it's good.
All right. I'm going to tell you guys about the Farmville murders.
Not the computer game that was all the rage when I was in college.
That was called Farmville?
Yes. I never played that. It was a Facebook game called Farmville.
I vaguely remember.
Yes.
But
I only remember because my husband and his roommate were obsessed. You were in
college. I probably had two babies.
It was 2010. It was 2010.
I had a two-year-old. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So no, I didn't play. I was probably barely surviving at the time. It's fine. Anyhow. And it kind of correlates with Richard Samuel McCroskey. He's the main person that I'm going to tell you about.
Dick.
So he, yeah. Actually, oh, he went by Sam.
That was a harsh judgment right away.
No, nickname.
He is actually dick. A dick, so.
She thought I was just being really judgy.
I thought you were. I was like, that's
I'm just the judgiest person.
Haven't we been I've told another story about a Richard Dick Hickok.
We did.
Yes, that is In Cold Blood. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes, because
I learned that whenever Sarah told me the story.
His name, I kept saying Dick Hickok.
Hickup.
Hickup? No,
we combined it to Dickok. Okay, well, I think to make it more simple, I'm just going to call him Sam.
Okay.
And his, like, handle, I don't know if they called it handle back in that time, but his screen name or whatever was Psycho Sam. So we're going to call him Sam. Psycho, S-Y-K-O. How clever.
So Sicko?
Sicko, maybe? I don't know.
I like said Psycho.
Okay. Psycho.
I was thinking it's Psycho, too, because when you say, like, psych, it's S-Y-K-E, isn't it? When you're playing a joke on someone, you go, psych.
Yeah, because I say that all the time.
Back in the day. Like, back in the 90s, okay? We're going back a few.
Hey, no.
Ignore me. Continue. Watch it. I'm old.
If you make one more fucking old joke, I'm going to beat your ass.
Psych.
Listen, I can't Facebook, and I just said psych. I am old.
And you talked about Farmville.
Your soul is older than me, okay?
That's what we're going to go. Soul. I do have a very old soul.
Okay, so anyhow, I'm going to tell you about Sam McCroskey. He was born December 26, 1988. He was a graphic designer and amateur horrorcore rapper.
Horrorcore.
Nope, I'm not even going to try.
Please do it.
Horrorcore rapper.
That's right. You nailed it.
I feel like you put a W in there, but yeah.
Wepper.
No.
It's a wepper.
Horror. I can't even say
horror
it.
Horrorcore rapper.
Nailed
That's
it.
That's right.
I have to say it slow.
I had to look it up. And horrorcore is a type of music that's typically focused on dark lyrics and death.
Okay. That makes
sense. Right up your alley, Lindsay.
Yeah, sure. I love horrorcore rapping.
I knew you would.
Yes.
So he lived with his father and sister in Castro Valley, California for a very long time. Throughout high school, he was bullied because of his weight and his hairstyle. I checked out some of his pics. He had like the, you know, greased down.
Oh, yes.
Like little pieces out in front. Sorry, I was doing my hand motions on the hair.
I know what you're talking about. The little spikes.
Yes. And like the JNCO jeans. He was like, he had a look.
He was punk.
Yeah. He was horrorcore.
Like hardcore, but not.
Yes, with horror. Horror. Who knew that word was so hard to pronounce?
It is a hard word.
Despite the constant teasing, though, he was known to be pretty mild-mannered.
Just a second.
Okay. So, yeah. He was bullied. We talked about his hairstyle a little bit and his JNCO jeans, man. You guys are probably too young to remember those things.
Oh, no. I remember JNCOs.
First off, he was born in 1988, so.
But I'm talking about JNCO specifically.
He's our people. If he was wearing JNCOs, then we knew about it.
Well, I made that assumption. I assumed that JNCOs came out around then.
You were wrong in your assumption.
That's probably right. Okay. So anyhow, despite his constant teasing, he was known to be pretty mild-mannered and never really fought back or tried to defend himself. So, kind of interesting there. He also had a MySpace page.
MySpace.
MySpace is the one I did not have.
The introduction to coding.
I definitely had a MySpace page. I don't know how I I don't know how I made it work.
Who was in your top 10? Top 8?
8. I think it's top 8.
Yeah.
It was probably whatever boyfriend I had at the time. And then my best friends that I'm actually still friends with. I do still talk to them.
Tom? Did you keep Tom?
I don't remember if I kept Tom. But I always had like a really fun background and I had music going because that was the best part.
I had that on my Zynga page.
The hell is a Zynga?
That's like a live journal or like a journal.
It was like a live journal, but you could like code it and have music and backgrounds and all that stuff. So it was kind of like MySpace. Sounds
just like MySpace.
But it was like a journal. It was
like a diary that you wanted your people to read.
You would post
up. What? Yeah. You post your...
Yes, I did.
journal entries for people to read?
Yes. It was private. I mean, it was private. Like, you had to be my friend to see it. So it was like what me and all my friends used.
Huh.
Like, before Facebook like got texting. Big. Texting. It was like
texting.
Yeah, like status updates before Facebook.
Well, his MySpace page featured songs that he wrote, which, shocker, they had violent lyrics about killing people and mutilating them.
Mm, that's horrorcore that's for you. Horror-core. You guys just don't get it.
I didn't know you were such a closet horrorcore fan.
Such a closet horrorcore.
You just like saying the word, don't you?
I do. It's fun.
Now that you've gotten better at it?
Now that I'm a professional.
He also spoke about the thrill of murdering someone.
Okay.
Okay. One of his songs that he wrote himself was titled My Dark Side.
Oh.
I'm going to read you a sentence from it. These are some truly frightening lyrics that said, "You're not the first. Just to let you know, I've killed many people and I kill them real slow. It's the best feeling, watching their last breath, stabbing and stabbing till there's nothing left."
Yeah, I don't think it was sicko. I think it's psycho.
I know. That's why I think I said psycho.
Could be sicko, too. Because that's yikes. Pretty sick stuff. And I mean, it rhymes, but...
Man. I don't know. He eventually dropped out of high school, so that's what he had going for him there. But while he was on MySpace, he met a young girl named Emma Niederbrock. And they developed kind of a relationship, I guess you would say, as much as you can over MySpace. They ended up quote-unquote dating for a year. They talked almost every day on the phone, and they communicated over MySpace, but Emma lived in Farmville, Virginia. Emma and her friend Melanie made plans to meet up with Sam for a horrorcore concert called Strictly for the Wicked Festival. You've been there, right?
I've been there.
I knew it.
I go every year.
I feel like it's probably beautiful around that time.
Yes, it is. There's so many fun, lively people.
You seem to fit right in. Did you wear your Bible costume while you were there?
I wore my Bible costume, and I've been going around going, "Do you know about the love of our Lord Savior?"
Oh, God. Can you?
Can we talk?
Can you?
Do you have time to talk about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ?
I don't.
Oh, my God.
I just walk around. I'm like, I love to smile. Why is nobody smiling?
Oh, shit. Sorry. Oh my God.
That would be more me. I'd be like, why is nobody smiling at me? I'm smiling at them.
I mean, I picture that they're really happy. They probably are really happy in their element, right? No?
I don't know.
Assuming. I don't know. So yeah, they went to this festival and it was on September 12th of 2009. Emma's parents, Deborah and Mark, had taken all three of them. So Sam, Psycho Sam, Melanie, the friend, and Emma, the daughter, all to the concert. And that's just a... give you a little bit of a time frame. So a little bit of background about who these people were. Mark Niederbrock was a pastor at a Presbyterian church there in Virginia. Dr. Deborah Kelly was her Emma's mother, and she was an associate professor of sociology and criminal justice at Longwood University. They had been divorced for about 9 months. And Emma Niederbrock was a 16-year-old girl who had been homeschooled all throughout middle school. Like I mentioned, she was still pretty young. She was remembered as a rebellious girl who dabbled in the occult and was obsessed with macabre music, but also listened to Backstreet Boys and played soccer.
I was going to say, so she's a preacher's kid who was homeschooled and is into horrorcore.
And Backstreet Boys. And soccer.
All right. And Backstreet Boys. I mean
I feel like that's pretty typical 16-year-old. Like
the rebellious. BSB, yes.
Yeah, like, you know, wanting to get their own identity, whatever. Yeah,
okay.
So she made friends with people who were like her. That's how she met Sam. Melanie Wells was an 18-year-old girl, and she was a friend of Emma's. And she'd actually been staying with Emma and her mother for quite some time. While Sam was there, they went to this concert. He's staying at their house with them for a little bit. He started picking up on the fact that Emma wasn't really into him anymore, and she was less than impressed by him. He also noticed that she was texting other guys, which I'm assuming was maybe on MySpace too, who knows, but she was communicating with other guys.
He's getting jealous.
Very, and it totally sent him into a fit of rage.
So he was actually under the impression this whole time that he and Emma were exclusive.
Newsflash. Okay. Exclusive, but they had never met. Okay.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. he became so enraged that he completely snapped. And sometime during the evening of September 14th of 2009, or early the next morning, Sam attacked Emma, Melanie, and Emma's mother, Deborah, while they slept.
Oh,
not Dr. Deb.
Dr. Deb. They were all killed within a short period of time around 3 a.m. on September 15th.
Oh, what did mom do? What did friend do? Nothing. What did Emma do?
Nothing, really.
Really?
Police say that he killed Melanie first. She was sleeping on the couch on the first floor. Then he went upstairs to Deborah's room, then back downstairs where he killed Emma in her bedroom. He hit all of them multiple times with a weapon, which they kept calling a maul.
A maul?
M-A-U-L.
I don't know what that is.
It sounds like a medieval...
I know. So I don't know what it was. I don't know what it was, but they...
Oh, don't worry. Lindsay will tell us.
Bludgeoned.
Permission to Google?
Permission to Google, but I'm going to keep going.
Okay, keep going.
Okay. They also noted that none of the victims had defensive wounds, so they assumed that they didn't wake up and this was done during their sleep.
Well, it's almost like a sledgehammer.
It sure does. It's called a maul. How about that?
Hmm. It does look
just like a sledgehammer. All right, so yeah, he hit them all during their sleep with this maul and just bludgeoned them to death, basically. 3 days later, on September 17th, Mark Niederbrock arrived home around 5 p.m. After entering the home, Sam attacked him with a weapon in the living room.
So he was just there for days with their dead bodies.
That's correct.
Oh, messed up.
He then moved Mark's body after he attacked him with the maul. Moved into Emma's room and attempted to clean up the blood from the living room. Sometime during this whole ordeal, he recorded himself saying that he would have to pay for what he did and hinted that he might commit suicide. Melanie's mother called the police and asked them to check on her because she'd been trying to get a hold of her and wasn't able to. She called multiple times to the house and spoke with Sam, but she got a different story each time. She asked where Melanie was. So police finally show up at the house and Sam answers the door. And he told police that Melanie was at a movie with a friend. So they left. Melanie's mother contacted them again and was like, absolutely not. I cannot get a hold of her. Something's not right. You need to go back.
Right.
So they did. And when they came back, they realized that Sam was gone. He had fled. So they entered the house. And that's when they finally discovered the bodies on September 18th of 2009. So this has been over a few days.
Yeah.
Sam had stolen and wrecked Mark's car.
Oh.
And the most frustrating part is that he was given a ticket for driving without a license. So he actually came in contact with the police officer. And they ticketed him for not having a license.
But didn't run that the car was stolen.
Right. They didn't do anything else. But they were also unaware that these murders had happened. So sure. They had just basically let him go. And sometime shortly after this happened, this was kind of unclear, but apparently he made a phone call to the police saying and confessing that he just killed all these people and then did not turn himself in. So they were trying to hunt him down and they finally found him at the Richmond International Airport on September 18th. So it was actually on the same day. Police found him sleeping in the baggage claim area.
Okay.
He was going to go home back to California. Like nothing happened. He, like, called to confess, but then he's, like, gonna go hop on a plane.
But gotta go, bye.
Yeah, but I really don't want to, like, do anything for it, so if you guys could just let me out of this, that'd be great.
Extradition's expensive.
So. Well, maybe that's why.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not sure if he thought that one through.
I don't think he did.
I don't know. He actually had no prior criminal record, which was interesting.
That they know of.
That's true.
But his lyrics said that he had killed people. I know, and they right? slowly, first.
Very slowly.
Gosh, he lied in his lyrics.
Oh my gosh, those lyrics were the worst. He was charged with first degree murder, robbery, and grand larceny. I put that in there because I know what that means. So.
Larceny.
But later he was charged with capital murder for the deaths of the four people.
What's the difference between first degree murder and capital murder? Sorry, I shouldn't ask.
Why would you do that to me? I think it's about the intent and the way Lindsay. That you kill them. I do think
you
that.
You just love me.
Look, I try to not make it too lengthy because I know I babble on forever.
No, you're good. I'm just, this is just me. This
I think
is
it
my
has
brain.
Something to do with the intent. I'm not, I couldn't, don't quote me, but that's my guess.
Welcome to a day in my brain. I just,
I just was like, oh yeah, sounds good. I can move on.
First degree murder is a type of murder that is both intentional and premeditated.
Right.
Capital murder is any first degree murder that can be punished by the death penalty.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Capital punishment. Capital murder. Got it. Okay.
Now you know. The more you know.
So, all right. Got it. See, wasn't that fun for all of us? That was a fun little detour.
Thanks, Lindsay.
Now you're welcome. What larceny is and capital murder.
You're welcome. File it away in all these useless facts I have.
We're just learning so much.
I know.
We're such an educational podcast.
I just inspire everyone around me to learn and question things.
Sure. Okay, so on September 20th, 2010, so the next year, he pled guilty to the murders and was sentenced to life in prison, and currently is serving his time out at the Wallets Ridge State Prison in Big Stone Gap, Virginia.
Oh, okay. That's a mouthful.
Right. Never heard of it.
Big Stone Gap.
Wallets Ridge State Prison in Big Stone Gap, Virginia.
Okay. I've heard of Big Stone Gap. I've been by there.
Sounds very descriptive. Is there a gap in the stones?
No, it has to do
is
with,
is it
like
a big stone gap?
With gap. With, like, is it a big stone with gap teeth?
It's a gap tooth stone, isn't it?
It totally is. That's exactly it.
There's some teeth you have to enter through, and there's a giant gap. That's the gap you enter through.
The hand signals you come up with.
I don't know. Okay, that's what I got. That's the story of the Farmville murders.
Thank you. You've done a couple, like, kind of creepy, demonic ones lately.
Have I?
Like, creepy true crimes. Like, the last one was that awful house in North Carolina. Pazuzu.
Oh, the Pazuzu. The shithole.
You've found some terrible ones before,
thank
haven't you?
Yes, I have. They've all been so terrible. Like,
some unusual? Okay, fine.
I think I know what you meant. Okay. That's fine.
It's a compliment.
Was it?
Sounded like it.
You've done some demonic things. I mean that as a compliment.
You've done some bad things, but that's good.
Mm-hmm. Suck a duck.
Oh, I am so offended. Don't use that language on this podcast.
I'm so sorry.
Oh my god.
I was waiting.
I was going to say something else. I decided not to.
Okay, I'm ready.
Sometimes I do think before I talk. Okay.
Huh. Let's hear it.
Are we ready for me? Hello.
Ready.
I knew that you guys were staying in America, so I went across the pond to England.
Oh my god.
Hello. No.
Is that an accent?
Cheerio.
Cheerio.
She's not doing it with an accent, she's just saying it.
Hello.
I said hello without an H. Isn't that what they say?
I don't know. I did it too. Hello.
Oh, our friends across Australian, the pond, I'm so sorry.
My Australian and English accent are basically the same. Yeah, sorry.
We're talking about Bella and the Witch Elm. Have you guys heard of this?
Witches?
Bella?
No, so witch is spelled W-Y-C-H. It's a type of tree.
Like?
It's a type of tree.
Is this a...
But is it a type of elm tree?
Sure. I mean, it's a witch elm, so sure. All right. April 18th, 1943. Four local teenagers, Robert Hart, Thomas Willits, Bob Farmer, and Fred Payne.
Really laughing because she is. Bob Farmer and Thomas.
Bob Farmer just sounds like a made up, like a cute made up name.
Bob Farmer. Name? And this is the 40s, okay? They had simple names back then.
I like
Are
it.
Are you calling them simple?
What? I like their names.
You try and learn how to spell Margaret or Bernadette.
Oh my god, what's happening?
I can spell both of those names. Thank you.
Well, they're not simple.
Oh, you're saying the names are long. Oh, okay. It took me a minute.
Yeah. All right. They were poaching / looking for bird nesting.
Gertrude. Marcia.
Helen.
What is it with all these? This is
my grandparents' names. Jack.
I had a great aunt, Gertrude.
Oh, did you? Aww.
That's what I had to. Okay.
Gertrude?
They were in Hagley Wood in England.
Okay.
This is part of the Hagley Estate. why is she laughing at this?
Did it have a haggled?
No. But it does belong to Lord Cobham. Stop. And Worcestershire, England.
No.
Is it like the sauce?
Hang on.
Worcestershire.
what is going on?
I am not going to correct you, and I'm just going to let you keep saying it.
Okay. Bottom line.
But where was it?
Shut up. This is World War II. So rations were in effect, and so they were looking for birds' nests, trying to find some eggs for food. So that's what's happening.
In the Haggletooth.
Yes. So these are four teenagers in Haggle. Haggley Wood. You say Haggle? Haggley Wood.
Okay.
I hate going last. Have I ever mentioned that? This is why.
We have enough time to drink our drinks. Yes.
So they are looking around for some bird eggs, and they come across a large witch elm tree. So Bob Farmer, he climbs up the tree. He's looking for some bird's nests, and I'm probably going to actually, I kind of wanted to do a PowerPoint just to show you guys what this tree looks like so you can.
The witch elm. Yeah. I want to see it.
Yeah. So it is a tree that's kind of like hollowed through. So he was looking down into it because he saw something white and he was like, oh, that might be a
possum.
Bird.
An egg.
Oh. Egg. Yeah. Got it.
Instead, he found a human skull. So see, it's kind of got like that open. So he's climbed up and he's looking down, and that's what he sees is a skull.
Those are trees beautiful are trees. Creepy AF. Mm-hmm.
Very creepy trees.
Yeah.
Say creepy, I say beautiful. It's fine.
They can be both.
They at first he thought it was an animal, but then he saw the skull that had human hair still attached and teeth.
Mm. Haggle tooth. I knew it.
So the boys were technically trespassing on this land, so they put the skull back, and they're like, we're never talking about this again, because they didn't want to get in trouble, because they were trespassing.
Well, I think you've already been cursed by now.
So Thomas goes home and tells his parents almost right away. He's like, look, we found the skull.
Tom's and Lindsay.
Totally is. I was laughing because everything.
Let's see, who's who? Let's see. Keep going.
Everything I was reading was like, they all swore they would never speak of it again. The next day, Thomas told his parents. I'm like, Thomas, yes. Tell someone.
Thomas, some integrity.
Okay. So police come by to check out the tree, and they find not only the skull, but a complete skeleton that had a shoe, a gold wedding ring, and some fragments of clothing. So the skull still had tufts of hair and a clear dental pattern with it. So the dental, I don't even want to say this because you guys are going to make fun, had some abnormalities with the teeth.
Snaggle teeth. Yeah.
That's what you're saying. Her top teeth.
It's a haggle tooth.
Her top teeth protruded out, and she had a tooth missing on her bottom that they said was probably pulled recently. Okay. So she had distinctive teeth patterns. That's all I need to know.
The haggle tooth.
They also found the remains of a hand that was found some distance from the tree. Medical examiner is Professor James Webster. He established that it was a female who had been dead for at least 18 months, if not longer, placing the time of death around October 1941 was his estimate. At least. Could have been before then. He thought that she died from asphyxiation because of they found a piece of taffeta that was stuffed into her mouth, and that was all they could find as far as like a cause of death. So he deduced that the body had been placed in the trunk of the tree still warm because it was a very tiny spot, and he was like, if rigor mortis had set in, nobody would have been able to, like, cram her body into that spot. So he was like, the murder happened somewhere close by enough that she was still warm to put her in the trunk of the tree. So he said she was about 5 feet tall, around, he guesstimated 20 to 45 years, but thought she was probably close to 35. Like I said, had irregular teeth and light brown hair. Also, he thought that she had given birth at least once in her lifetime. Which, like, even back then in the 40s, it amazes me how people can find this out from, like, bones.
It's fascinating.
It really is. But you can, like, deduce all of that. Very cool. Okay. Side note. Science is cool. So they were able to estimate what she looked like. But this, again, is World War II. There's a ton of missing people. Like, just all over because of they were having air raids going on. And
War.
And... a pretty massive war going on.
Something called a war. Kind of a big deal.
Yeah, it was a big deal. So they were unable to find any proper ID. None of the missing persons that were reported were able to match to her. They put, like, a newspaper out asking for all dentists around to come look at her teeth to try to, like, see if they recognize her. Because they were so distinctive and she had a tooth that had been pulled. They said probably by a dentist. Nothing.
I'm guessing dental records weren't a thing.
They were not in the 40s.
Okay.
Which, still, pretty clever to ask dentists to come. But
mm-hmm. That's why I was asking.
The medical examiner said it was an excellent place for the concealment of a murder, and I think it indicates local knowledge. So, police started looking locally. Still not finding anything. They're still unable to identify her. So, let's fast forward. She was found in April. We're fast forwarding to Christmas of that year. On the side of a house in Old Hill, there was a message written in chalk that said, "Who put Lubella down the witch elm? -Hagley Wood. Lubella, L-U-E, and then Bella. So police are like, that's weird. So they start doing some investigating, and they find another message in graffiti that is written on a wall in Upper Dean Street, Birmingham, that said, "Who put Bella down the witch elm?" And it was the same handwriting.
Side note, pro tip, it's Birmingham.
Birmingham.
Birmingham, Alabama.
There's no ham. It's Birmingham.
Birmingham. Okay. So they're starting, they're like, is this a kid that's pranking us? Like, what's happening? But the way that the graffiti was written, it was so high up. They're like, this can't be a teenager or a kid. It's got to be like an adult because it was high up. So then they're like, well, let's see if we can find out who this is.
I like your role playing.
You're welcome.
Well, I'm really into it. I'm ready.
Let me see here.
This is my storytelling, okay? Take it or leave it.
It's too tall for the kids.
So here, they think that it was like a prankster that did it, basically is what they think, because nobody ever came forward and they still haven't identified this woman. So they think it was just someone basically like stirring the pot. Like, hey, okay. Hey, don't forget about this. So
stir it up.
Still, graffiti has sporadically appeared on the Hagley Wood, like in that area, just on buildings randomly, graffiti, all this stuff. People will put, who put Bella in the witch elm? So let's hear some theories, okay?
Who done it?
Is this a good time to point out she did another unsolved?
I did do another unsolved.
I figured that out.
I'm sorry.
As soon as she said multiple people wrote.
But you're going to like the theories, I promise, because one theory is geared towards you and one theory is geared for you.
Aliens, okay.
No, not aliens.
Oh.
Conspiracy.
Okay.
Okay. Aliens. So, always. Ready?
Ready. Right.
The first theory is going to be for Sarah.
Okay.
Which one?
Oh.
Sarah. That happens to be my name, too. Thank you.
Margaret Murray. She is an anthropologist. Mm-hmm.
An anthropologist?
Yep. I stumbled over the word. She's an anthropologist.
You really didn't, though. You just started and then stopped.
I was like, oh, sorry. And she's also
freaked herself out.
She's an anthropologist and an archaeologist.
Anthroarchaeologist.
And an archaeologist.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my gosh.
Got it.
The wine tonight.
It's getting a little different.
Yeah. Okay. So she...
Oh, my God.
She suggested in 1945 that witchcraft was involved.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
So she is at the University College of London. She stated, so remember how there was a severed hand that was found?
Yeah. Yes.
So she stated the severed hand is consistent with a ritual called the Hand of Glory. Ew. And this is after a victim has been killed as a blood sacrifice by gypsies during an occult ritual. So her hand was severed and the bones were like all scattered around, which they thought was unusual.
This is different than a glory hole.
What? How did we get down the glory hole?
She said hand of glory.
Oh, okay.
Why did you know?
My life's mission is to make you uncomfortable.
I think you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
So, Margaret connected the case with Charles Walton, who was a man who was stabbed and pinned to the ground with his own pitchfork in a nearby village. And so then she also connected it with Belladonna, which is nightshade. Mm-hmm. You know nightshade? Yeah.
I do know nightshade. I do know nightshade.
It's deadly.
It tends to be an opiate, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Haven't you seen Zoolander?
Which is associated with the
Not
occult.
Zoolander. Zootopia.
I was like, what Zoolander are you watching with nightshade?
Zootopia! They do that.
You're right. Zoolander. We're watching very different Zoolanders.
Wait, Zootopia with like the little creatures?
Yes, with the animals.
Yes.
So Belladonna is nightshade, which is deadly, associated with the occult, and so is Hagley Woods, where the body was found. So it has also been associated with the occult for many centuries. Not centuries. Decades. face. And so Belladonna, because they said at first Lou Bella, that shortened to Bella. So,
oh, Bella, Belladonna.
Belladonna.
Where would the Lou come from?
I don't know.
How does it feel? Have questions not, asked.
You know what? I value your questions. Thank you for paying attention.
How does it feel to not have the answer?
Zoolander.
Another thing that is Zoolander. Ritualistic with the occult is that she was entombed inside a tree rather than being buried.
I've never seen it.
You've never seen Zoolander?
No.
Oh, that's a good one.
What?
So, Margaret Murray theorized that she wronged a coven and they took revenge, or she was a blood sacrifice.
Probably so, both.
The police didn't really listen to this theory because they said, well, yeah, the bones were scattered, but that's because of animals and she'd been there for...
They're never going to admit that it's witchcraft, right. Let's be honest.
Or right. Aliens.
That's right.
So this next theory has to do with spies.
Okay.
Okay, so World War II, remember.
Yep. 40s, got it.
German spies, they're all over the UK.
Got it.
So the Wolverhampton Express and Star newspaper received a letter from someone who said she was Anna of Claverley. That's all she said. Anna.
Man, they've got the coolest names.
I know.
I'm Sarah of Kansas City.
So she claimed to have info on the identity.
Not quite the same ring.
No. No, not as Anna of Claverley. She claimed to have info on the identity of Bella. And eventually, you know, because the police are good, they tracked down who she actually was. And she was interviewed by a journalist, Wilford Byford Jones.
That is a name.
I know.
Did he have mutton chops?
He had to have.
I did not look up a picture of Wilford.
Byford.
Jones. Jones.
Jones.
According to Anna, putting that in quotations, Bella was a member of a spy ring seeking info about the location of local ammunition factories that could then be targeted. I put, woof, that's a lot. Okay. Anna was later identified, like I said, by the police as Una Mossop. So she told police that her ex-husband Jack, who was a Royal Air Force pilot, had confessed to family members that he and a Dutchman called Van Ralt had put Bella in the tree. So she says her husband Jack was involved in all this spy stuff with Van Ralt. They met for, there's two theories here, because there's two stories. We're not sure which one's true. First story is that they met for a drink. They met Bella. She became drunk and passed out while they were driving. So they put her in the tree and hoped that she would wake in the morning and be frightened into seeing the error of her ways. And then she died.
Out of fright?
Out of just she not able drunk. To get out. Yeah, not able to get out.
She's stuck.
But the police are like, she had a piece of taffeta crammed down her throat. Like, that's not drunk. So another report is that Van Ralt strangled Bella because of her spy associations. And then they dumped the body.
That's intense.
So here's where it gets interesting. So Jack told his family members this, but he was confined to a Stafford mental hospital because he had such bad reoccurring dreams of a woman staring out at him from a tree. Like, basically, he went psychotic because of this. Huh. And died in the hospital before they even found her body. But the police were suspicious because his wife did not come forward with this until, like, 10 years after the death. She came forward in 1953. Like, the body's been found. It's been widely publicized about in the newspapers. And you waited 10 years.
Yeah. I mean, credibility is kind of hard to
substantiate
by that point. But
who knows? Another spy ring story has to deal with someone named Clara. So, Joseph Jacobs, he was a German spy who was captured while parachuting down in this area of England, broke his ankle, got captured by British forces. In his, on himself, on his person, he had a photo of a woman named Clara, who he said was his lover and had been recruited by the Nazis as a spy. So this was all validated in declassified M15 files.
No clue.
It's like sounds CIA, legit. Like the CIA of Britain. Like 007 stuff, you know?
Sure,
yeah. So this was all found in declassified files. So he had this photo of Claire, said she was a spy, that she was parachuting down too, and never, like, touched base with them again. Like, they never heard from her again. So, in this area. And they're all like, that's unusual. So things to debunk this. Clara was 5'10". Bella, they estimated, was about 5 foot. So that's a pretty big gap to be off of. And Clara was reported in these declassified files that she had died in a Berlin hospital in December 1942. But spies, they could fake a lot of stuff. So maybe they faked her death in that hospital. Who knows?
But also, if you're a spy, like, your friends and family probably shouldn't know it.
So he was a German spy and had her picture and said, she's my lover, but she's also a spy as well. So, like...
maybe he was lying.
But then he was killed pretty much quickly after his capture by a firing squad, so they never really got to interrogate him about her. So we don't know. As of right now, we still don't know. Her bones have all been lost. Nobody knows where her skull and her bones are, so we can't do any DNA testing, which sucks. Police believe that she was likely either homeless or a sex worker. Just basically someone who, like, fell through the cracks.
Of course they do.
Someone who fell through the cracks who nobody reported missing because nobody was missing her.
That's an easy story for them to tell.
It is an easy story.
And she just wandered into a tree?
Yeah.
It's our fault.
Well, the medical examiner did say back then, he was like, this is not suicide. This is not, she did not wander into the tree. Like, she would not be able to force herself into that position.
Or put taffeta down her own throat.
He said from the very beginning, like, this is murder. Somebody put her in that tree. So one possible... one sex worker in 1944 did say that another sex worker named Bella had worked on Hagley Road near the Hagley Wood Estate and had disappeared 3 years previously in 1941. Who knows if that's true? Who knows if her name's even really Bella? Like, this was a prankster who put this, so who even knows? Could have been just a sex worker being like, oh yeah, I know of a girl named Bella.
Yeah, sounds like that's eerily similar to validate a story.
Was it the occult? Was it witchcraft? Was it a spy ring?
Was it aliens?
Or was it something simple like she was a homeless woman who just got killed and somebody stuffed her body? Who knows?
That's so simple.
Yeah. So simple.
Was it something simple like that?
But what's frustrating is that they don't know where her bones are anymore. Like, her skull's just gone. Her bones are gone.
I wonder where that is.
Yeah. That's very weird to me that the police would just... be like, oh, we don't know where her skull is anymore. And I'm like, what?
Do we really think that?
I don't know.
Hmm.
So there's no DNA testing. There's nothing that can be done.
Right. That's my point. That's what I'm hinting at.
Aspiring.
Sometimes when there are things that we don't need to know about.
It's true.
Things happen. I don't know.
Things happen. So that's my story.
Hey, thanks for another unsolved.
Bella and Witch Elm. You're welcome.
Nice. Right.
Can you stop sighing every time I do an unsolved, y'all? Unsolves are fascinating.
I believe the last time that you did a regular one, you were like, I'm going to take a break from the unsolves right now.
Yeah, and I started doing this one halfway through. I realized it was unsolved. And I said, oh, well, doing it anyways. I'm halfway through.
Maybe just next time.
I will do a solved. Fine.
I need closure.
Me too.
I think it's more fun to just, like, theorize. Well, that's you.
You've done enough unsolved. Okay. Give us some closure.
Fine.
I know. I need to know what happened.
I'll give you closure.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
You suck.
Otherwise, strong work. It was aliens.
Or witches.
Witch aliens?
They were witch aliens.
I thought you would like my conspiracy with the spies.
It was witches.
I'm leaning towards the spy. That's my thing.
Maybe the spies were aliens.
No.
Lindsay, we cannot be the only people in this nation.
Those are very profound words.
Yeah, please get that on a t-shirt.
Challenge accepted.
With me like this in the background.
What's wrong with me? I don't know, but we still hang out with you. It's okay.
I know. I'm so sorry.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for tuning into our true crime episode. You can always find us at www.thetipsyghost.com and find all of our socials from there. And send us an email to thetipsyghost@gmail.com so we can keep coming out with those tipsy stories.
Also, on our website, you can donate to us on Patreon, patreon.com/thetipsyghost, if you don't want to go to our website, but please do. We worked hard on it. And please give us a 5-star rating and a great review on Apple Podcasts. We would greatly appreciate it. We would scrotly appreciate it.
Okay, nope. Ending this now. Thanks so much, guys, for tuning in. We will catch you guys next week. Okay, bye.
Good night.
No.
No, damn it. Thanks so much, guys. We...
What did I do?
She took my words.
Oh, I was all excited.
Thanks so much for tuning in this week, guys. We will catch you guys next week.
Okay, bye.
Bye.